there, I'm Gabrielle Sinclair and this is Communio Calling. Our episode, Living Discernment with Claire Condon, is a little different. Not an interview this time, but the rich content is of a presentation Claire gave to the Good Samaritan Education Assembly members earlier this year. Discernment is a critical concept in the gospel living of the Good Samaritan Benedictine tradition. Claire shares her experience and knowledge of discernment as a way of life. For those in the Benedictine tradition, it is not simply a tool for decision-making, but a gift that is an integral part of experiencing the presence of God in daily life. Before we hear from Claire about discernment, let me give you a little bit of context and background. Claire Condon, now in semi-retirement, is a former congregational leader of the Sisters of the Good Samaritan of the Order of St. Benedict from 2005 to 2017. In 2013, the Australian Human Rights Commission awarded Claire the Human Rights Medal, as it was under her leadership that the Sisters of the Good Samaritan have helped provide emergency housing for women and children experiencing domestic violence and have supported self-determination for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Next time when we feature Claire here at Communio Calling, you'll hear a bit more about her story from her. But for now, let's jump right in.
Our context today is Good Samaritan Education, an ecclesial community, therefore church, and a communion of communities, as outlined in your statutes. This is a defining reality for all your actions, decisions, and therefore for your communal experiences and decision making. So what do I think discernment? What is it? It's often referred to in diverse ways. For example, it can be a set of principles, it can be a practice or process. We talk about it as a tradition, it's an act, it's a way of listening, it tests the spirits, good and bad. It's often referred to as both an art and a science, but rarely is discernment referred to as an experience of the presence of God in my life on a daily basis, so that the gift of discernment becomes an integral part of my way of living. So how do I describe discernment in the context of communal discernment within Good Samaritan Education? First of all, I just want to have a brief look, I think, at personal discernment as a way of life, because I think it's only in that context that we can that there's any relevance, meaning, or application for communal discernment. Kylie Todd Rosca from the Benedictine Center in the USA states, discernment can be practiced as a disposition, a way of life, instead of an occasional exercise we take up when we have a big decision to make. I was drawn to the picture of discernment as an orientation towards life with decisions flowing from a deeper place. I think within our tradition, discernment is a way of life and has a number of characteristics. But I just want to talk about four key sources. And of course, the first one is scripture. And there's certainly a sifting and a sorting of the spirits in my life. What is of God and what is not of God? And Sir Paul in his letter to the Galatians is clear about what is of God. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we can identify with those. But he also clearly identifies what's not of God. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Perhaps we can identify with some more than others. But scripture is at the heart of any discerning Christian life. So I need to sit with, walk with, and engage with the Word of God to become a discerning Christian, so that my life needs to be grounded in gospel living. We'll move on to, well, what does Benedict have to say about it? The rule of Benedict emphasises a word called discretion, which scholars tell us is an ancient word, which understood in modern terms really means discernment. That is the ability to distinguish between spirits which motivate actions, as well as a sense of avoiding excesses. For Benedict, a key characteristic is that of the humility as outlined in chapter 7. Put simply, in honesty, know my place in the scheme of things, especially in relation to God and others, if we are seeking to discern God's preferences. Benedict points out the moods that inhibit the practice of wisdom and discretion in the abbot in RB 64. They're interesting. These inhibit the practice. Excitable, anxious, extreme, obstinate, jealous, or over-suspicious. Surely these characteristics apply to all of us in our search for wisdom. I think the third key area, I think, is psychology. There's also the discernment of within our own psychic, and we've learnt much about from psychology and human development and what factors can enhance my life as a discerning life. My level of self-knowledge is significant. Do I trust myself and my judgment? Do I self-doubt? Do I lack confidence or self-esteem? Are there too many shoulds in my life? Or can I expect too much of myself? Where do I place my energy, my gifts and talents? Where are my life's priorities? Every one of us carry within us our historical life and past experiences. And I like this quote. I had a look at an unpublished doctoral thesis at Karen Caldwell, one of our sisters, from 1997, called Discernment as a Way of Life, and she quotes a Kathleen Fisher of Women at the Well. The tradition of discernment maintains that what we want in our hearts will be consistent with whom God is enabling and requiring us to be and with what we are to do. So within our own psyche, if we attend to what is in our heart, then I think we can be confident that we are getting in touch with our God. And the fourth area or characteristic is community and shared life. Often I hear people say, well, I've done my discernment. Perhaps they have isolated themselves in seeking a path forward. But I think if I'm a discerning person in the Christian tradition, I am fully embedded in the community, whether that be family, colleagues, friends, associates. I don't discern alone, but I value the input and enrichment of those who know me best. Because we are a community, we're not isolated individuals. The Ignatian method of personal discernment, of testing the spirits within one's own heart, has kind of become the norm for church or within church. However, I think the usage of discernment for a community is particular within the Benedictine tradition. And so that goes back a lot further. So first of all, I want to say what I think, and this is me, Claire, only. Communal discernment is not, because I think it gets confused at times. It's not simply consultation. Consultation can be good, but let's not call it discernment. Consultation is a one-way process of one group listening to another, however intently and sincerely, thereby seeking to hear the opinion of others, And often, but often it's the consulting group, the first group that has the power and invites the others for an opinion before the first group makes their decision. And I think a consultation is used a lot in a secular world, and it's not terribly mutual. I think communal discernment's also, it's not debate or argumentation. We could look at the parliamentary situation. It's not a factional battle. And it's not listening alone, though deep listening is a part of the process towards discernment. So what are we talking about? I believe that in the Benedictine tradition, communal discernment is found first and foremost in chapter 3 of the rule. Not only there, but chapter 3 is about giving and taking counsel with the whole community. It's about mutual deep listening to one another. In reading the values of the whole rule, I sense that if I asked the question of Benedict today, he would say that communal discernment is a faith experience, a theological reality, an ecclesial activity, and a spiritual experience of the entire community of persons, and not simply a means of decision making. RB 3 is critical to our understanding of this theological and ecclesial activity. As Benedict writes, if there's an important question in the community, convene the whole community and explain what is involved. The whole community. It's not an optional extra, nor should some be excluded or unreasonably exclude themselves. Listen, hear the advice of one another, the wisdom of each and every person, ponder the matter, and only then do what is best. Benedict uses an interesting phrase, do what is beneficial for salvation, not what is most expedient or necessarily the most logical. What is beneficial for salvation? Salvation is what brings us closest to God, to the reign of God. It is God who reveals, so this requires a humble listening, a life of prayerful listening, and responding as Benedict teaches in the chapter on humility. Benedict also states that there is a need for foresight and judgment. We don't come to impose our personal agenda. Therefore, it is imperative, as we said before, to know oneself and one's own vulnerabilities and prejudices. To be a discerning person within the community, sometimes we need to let go graciously, to learn to let go graciously. I was talking to Karen Corwell about her thesis, and it involved a survey amongst the sisters. And she commented that one sister said to her, I find communal discernment so difficult, because I know I'm always right. And I think we all have that experience. Benedict called for an attendance to the fear of God, to the awe of the divine. I'm not the master of my own life, for life is gift. Therefore, giving and taking counsel and Benedict discernment belong to the wisdom tradition of Scripture and theological understanding. Benedict makes numerous references to the wisdom books of the Bible and to the Psalms as a reference point. As the book of Sirach indicates, do all things with counsel, and afterwards you have nothing to reject. So Benedict reiterates the purpose of this giving and taking is so a community can discern a pathway to salvation. I'll come back to that thought of salvation in a minute. For Benedict, the purpose is to come to solidarity and mutual responsibility. So key is honest, thoughtful, respectful, and prayerful dialogue. How do we come to understand the call of God within this particular community of persons? It's by sharing our wisdom, and our charisms, a gift. Yes, it calls for an ability to distinguish good and bad spirits, but even sometimes between competing good spirits. That is, it's to discern our inner realities, feelings, impulses, attitudes, temptations, and openness to change, and to trust our response to the wisdom of the group. Benedict sets the criteria, what is beneficial for salvation. Today, that word salvation can be an unpopular word in church, and perhaps in education circles, because in the past it implied an individualistic relationship with God on our way to heaven. But it is what we are called to foster in our search for the common good, to bring all of creation to the experience of God. And I just want to refer here to Ormond Rush's recent book called The Vision of Vatican II, Its Fundamental Principles. And it's not an easy book to read. It's quite a tome, but it's worth the read. And he quotes another author around the church we believe in that goes back to 1988. And he says, action on behalf of justice and participation in the transformation of the world, and let me put in there the whole world, not just humanity, fully appear to us as a constitutive dimension of the preaching of the gospel. Or in other words, of the church's mission for the redemption of the human race and its liberation from every oppressive situation. So what Benedict's talking about in terms of integral salvation is what the church's mission is, and therefore what our mission is. So what might be the implications for Good Samaritan education? My reading of the core documents of GSE suggests that there are three key realities that determine the scope and the scope of the responsibility and the mission of the members. One, the mission of the church in the contemporary world, integral salvation. The charism and call of the Good Samaritan, well-known parable, and the philosophy of education that you have set, or that has been set for Good Samaritan education. So it seems to me that these are the key arenas for your ongoing communal discernment as members, that is, as custodians. Everything else is secondary and supplementary to ensuring that the mission of GSE is constantly reviewed and renewed across these areas of responsibility, which are currently expressed through the colleges. Many of the tasks related to this mission then are delegated to college boards, leadership teams, and their staff. From my point of view, as members, your role when you're assembled together, whether it's followed by elections or policy decisions, you come together because you're a discerning people with a mission and a calling to be a discerning community, to be people of the gospel. Communal discernment is a way of being community. It is only in that context that together you can choose life and respond together to the call of God. And there's this lovely opening prayer for the Feast of Mary MacKillop's Mass, and it says, discernment is an essential spiritual practice for the entire church in its mission to live the gospel in changing times. And I think you're at the forefront of living the gospel in changing times in a particular setting. And congratulations for what you're doing.
listening to Claire, I'm beginning to better understand the call and commitment to discernment living. I hope that you may all, with great care, carry forward all you have heard from Claire today. Personally, I'd recommend a repeat listen. There is much to draw upon, ponder, and gift to each other as we continue to grow in our mission and ministry together. But until next time, as you continue through your day, may the transforming table of hospitality be wide, inspiring you with mercy and compassion to go and do likewise. Good Samaritan Education acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands and waters upon which we reside, work and travel, and pay our respect to elders past, present and emerging. Communio Calling is a podcast series by Good Samaritan Education. Good Samaritan Education is responsible for 10 incorporated schools in Australia. Our mission in Catholic education is to nurture and develop learning communities in the Good Samaritan Benedictine tradition. Our theme song, In All Things, by Jen Bryant, is available through Willow Publishing. Our Communio Calling artwork features the beautiful stained glass window from Marta Christi, Belgrave. You can follow Good Samaritan Education on social media at GoodSamEd or on our website, goodsameducation.org.au. Don't forget to subscribe to Communio Calling so you won't miss our future episodes. We look forward to you joining us again as we incline the ear of our hearts so that we may progress in this way of life and faith together.